Today, on the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio, a glimpse into the race for Michigan's first congressional district.
You know, not many people get to have a one-on-one with each candidate or the congressman. You learn a lot about how people think and how they go about their campaigns.
I'm Ed Ronco. We'll talk with Brian Freiberger, editor at the Leelanau Enterprise newspaper, who profiled the three Republicans and three Democrats who want to serve in the U.S. House next session. First, though, a big land deal on Torch Lake. If you've never been to Torch Lake, take a spin by there sometime. Michigan's longest inland lake runs 19 miles or so from north to south, entirely within Antrim County. The waters can turn this beautiful Caribbean blue when the sun comes out, and its shores are lined with expensive vacation homes. We looked up some Zillow real estate listings over the weekend, lots of seven-figure numbers along Torch Lake, including one up for about $10 million or so. The point is, this is valuable land, and now nearly 500 acres of it are under permanent protection. The Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy says it has worked with the YMCA Heowentha camps to put a permanent conservation easement on 354 acres of camp property.
It is a huge deal. We are elated right now.
John Carlson is the CEO of YMCA Heowentha Camps. The millions of dollars the camp will receive for putting the land into a conservation easement will allow them to do badly needed work on aging facilities at both Torch Lake and Arbutus Lake.
You know, when you have 100 plus facilities, you know, then it just, you don't want to try to duct tape and bubblegum your way through taking care of your facilities. You want to do it the right way.
The camp's Torch Lake acreage was appraised at about $16 million, but the camp offered it to the Conservancy at a discounted sum of about $13 million. A conservation easement is a legally binding agreement that permanently protects the land from development. The Grand Traverse Regional Land Conservancy also has first right of purchase on remaining acreage the camp owns at Torch Lake, should one day it ever decide to sell. Drifting smoke from wildfires in Canada is now lighter across northern Michigan. You can't really smell it, at least not here in Interlochen. But our climate solutions reporter Vivian Law is about to tell us more on why we should all stay alert.
The air might not smell smoky anymore, but health experts warn that pollutants don't need a scent to be harmful. Sue Ann Bell is an associate nursing professor at the University of Michigan. She says harmful particulate matter, known as PM2.5, is still a problem. It can cause difficulties with breathing or the heart.
Although the effects might have lessened in some areas, it's still, you know, not resolved. And in fact, in some places across Michigan, it's the highest PM2.5 exposures of some people's lives.
Bell says summer wildfire smoke is the new normal, and families should prepare for future events by getting air filters or knowing where in the community to go for safer air quality. For IPR News, I'm Vivian Law.
Your vote, your district. That is the name of a series from the Leelanau Enterprise, which sat down with the three Republicans and three Democrats who want to represent Northern Michigan in Congress in the 1st District. The primary election is 2 weeks from tomorrow, August 4th, and we are joined right now by Brian Freiberger, editor at the Leelanau Enterprise, who did these interviews with the candidates. Brian, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Six candidates, and there's no way that we have time here to comprehensively go through what each of them said to your newspaper. But I am really interested in the differences among them, the ways that they tried to distinguish themselves as they talked to you. What did you see when you sat down with all six?
Yeah, so they're all different on both sides of the aisle. On the Republican side, obviously, you have Jack Bergman going in for his sixth term. And, you know, he's leaning in on his veteran background. Justin Michael, which is the newbie of the group, new to politics. He's also a veteran himself, and he's also only 41 years old, so he's kind of the younger candidate as well. And then you got Matthew Donatter, who jumped in the race last year as well, who's new to the district, moved in there last year, and he's, you know, vying for the position, and he has about 25 years in healthcare that, you know, kind of got him in the race. And his biggest push, I would argue, is healthcare.
You've got three Republicans hoping for the nomination. One is an incumbent. I would imagine a lot of their policy positions overlap, but I would also imagine that in a primary, you try to explain to the voters why you're different than your other two opponents. So what did those candidates do to try to set themselves apart from the others.
Yeah, I guess just first starting with Bergman, he's, you know, hanging his hat on his decade of work down there in Washington. And he basically frames it, you know, you want somebody with experience on the job, is kind of his pitch, at least from my understanding, you know. And then Justin Michael, who's the newbie and also, you know, a U.S. Army veteran, you know, took some shots at Bergman, kind of how he's handled his veterans affairs, because he does work on that committee and subcommittees down in Washington, and some things he would change. And then really kind of where both the candidates, Donato and Michael, really disagree with Bergman is on the FISA Warrantless Surveillance Act that was voted on in May, and I believe it's still going through the Senate. And then, you know, also fixing, you know, rural health care, at least for on Donato's angle.
Let's talk about Bergman, Michael, and Donato on FISA, which is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It is a key piece of legislation that allows certain intelligence gathering. Where are they different? What do they each want?
So they just think, you know, at least with Michael and a little more with Donato. Now Donato's a little more close-lipped with it, but, you know, he just thinks it's a step too far. It's been going on for far too long, and we don't need it, essentially, at least for the provisions that it's been used. And, you know, obviously with Bergman, who voted on the issue, you know, he would argue that it's saved from, you know, from many attacks and, you know, all the other sorts of problems that could arise without having something like that.
So Bergman arguing that it's been a useful tool for the government, the other two saying it's a little bit of overreach. Let's talk about the Democrats. Callie Barr making another run for the office. She tried last time in 2024 as well. There's Kyle Blomquist, who has gained some traction as well. And there's Wayne Stiles. Tell us about these three.
Yeah, so Callie Barr's back and she's, you know, trying to give it a go after being defeated by Bergman in 24. And she's hoping, you know, that the environment's different and that her message resonates a little bit better this time around than last time around.
And she has a powerhouse endorsement from former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, who lives here in northern Michigan.
Yeah, and that was just recently here. And then you also have Wayne Stiles and Kyle Blomquist, who are also vying for the position. Blomquist is running on Medicare for All and public housing. And Wayne Stiles is coming in with a fresh approach. So you really have Callie Barr with that establishment endorsement from Buttigieg on one side. Then you have Blomquist running for Medicare for All, public housing, which I would assume may be a little bit left of Barr.
And Stiles seems to be sort of positioning himself as, I don't know if between the two is the right thing to say, but different, obviously, than the other two.
Yes, in between is probably not the right thing to say, but different. Definitely different. That's how he would portray himself. He definitely feels for all those social issues, and he also feels for the kind of the more establishment-based issues as well.
When you take it all in, you know, when you're talking to six people who all want to be members of Congress, one of whom is a member of Congress, and thank you for doing that on behalf of the public, by the way, to get the information out there. But what's that like to sort of be in a room with all of them at different times, taking in all the things they're trying to tell you about why they should get their party's nomination?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of talking with each one of them, and I'm just grateful that they would take the time out of their day to talk to me first and foremost. And it's just rather interesting because everybody's got their own reasons of why they hopped in a race. Everybody's kind of got their own, you know, backing or grassroots, respectively, and on both sides of the aisle. You know, not many people get to have a one-on-one with each candidate or the congressman. You learn a lot about how people think and how they go about their campaigns and all that sort of stuff. And they're all, you know, they're all quality people, at least at the end of the day, is what I can say.
Brian, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Brian Freiberger is editor of the Leelanau Enterprise. His series speaks with each of the six people, three Republicans, three Democrats, who want to be a member of Congress from the 1st District of Michigan. And you can find that series online right now on our website, iprnews.org. That is the Up North Lowdown for Monday, July 20th. I'm Ed Ronco. Our producer is Austin Rolater, editing by Steve Junker, music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening, and thanks to everyone who gave during our summer fun drive last week. Not too late. You can donate at iprnews.org.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.